The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Let me try that again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday, June 12th edition. You know, normally I don't acknowledge the date, barely acknowledge the date, but it's my birthday, so give me a little grace here. You know, it was very contemptuous of you and Rich. It was very contemptuous of you and Rich to, you know, put me in a corner, sort of put the dunce cap on me. Wow. I'm not saying it's not earned. I'm just
happy birthday, Crudy. We will give you we'll cut you a little bit of slack today because it's your birthday, and you know you gotta be nice to old people.
Yes, right. The same sort of slack extended. Yeah, crap on Rich a little while you're at it. The same sort of grace extended by the U.S. House of Representatives to the Attorney General of the United States. Merrick Garland held in contempt of Congress.
Yes.
This is just getting out of hand. The resolution concerned the Attorney General's refusal to turn over audio of Biden's interviewed in his classified documents case. You know, are they? Never mind. The House voted Wednesday to hold Attorney General Merrick Garland in contempt of Congress for refusing to turn over audio of President Joe Biden's interview in his classified documents case. Republicans' latest and strongest rebuke of the Justice Department as a partisan conflict over the rule of law animates the 2024 presidential election. And the vote, Dom, 216 to 207. Straight down party lines, with Republicans coalescing behind the contempt effort despite reservations among some of the party's more centrist members. Here's a statement by MAGA Mike Johnson. We have to defend the Constitution. We have to defend the authority of Congress. We can't allow the Department of Justice and executive branch to hide information from Congress. Now, Dom, Garland is now the third attorney general to be held in contempt of Congress. Yeah, how'd that work out with the Eric Holder? Yet, it is unlikely that the Justice Department, which Garland oversees, will prosecute him. Who wants to be the guy that prosecutes the boss? The White House decision to exert executive privilege over the audio recordings, shielding it from Congress, would make it exceedingly difficult to make a criminal case against Garland. And the White House and congressional Democrats have slammed Republicans' motives for pursuing contempt and dismiss their efforts to obtain the audio is purely political. They also pointed out that Representative Jim Jordan, the GOP chair of the House Judiciary Committee, defied his own congressional subpoena last session. This contempt resolution will do very little other than smear the reputation of Merrick Garland. Well, that's part of it.
Well,
who will remain
point, right?
A good and decent public servant, no matter what Republicans say about him today, said Jerry Nadler, the New York rep, a Democrat on the Judiciary Committee, during the floor debate. And Garland, Dom, has defended the Justice Department, saying officials have gone to extraordinary lengths to provide information to the committee about the special counsel Robert Hur's classified documents investigation, including a transcript of Biden's interview with him. Well, damn, Dom, that ain't good enough, Garland said. There have been a series of unprecedented and frankly unfounded attacks on the Justice Department. This request, this effort to use contempt as a method of obtaining our sensitive law enforcement files, is just the most recent. The most recent of the malfeasance of the Republicans. Dom, how do you compel the, well, you go. You go. I've been talking too much.
The Washington
Post. A little self-indulgent on my birthday.
This is all over the national news from the body of the piece at the Washington Post. House Speaker Mike Johnson said Wednesday before the contempt vote that he expected it would pass because GOP lawmakers have proceeded methodically, constitutionally, and appropriately. You mentioned Jerry Nadler. He says it's
appropriately
a badly
my ass
political attack on the administration of justice, and that historically disputes about executive privilege were settled by litigation in federal court. Republicans, according to Nadler, quote, are on a single-minded quest to follow every right-wing conspiracy theory in the vain hope that it might lead to some evidence of wrongdoing. And what exactly have they delivered to the American people on their investment? Nothing. Across Republican and Democratic administrations, government lawyers have long maintained that the invocation of executive privilege cannot lead to contempt of Congress charges. The Garland vote is the latest salvo by congressional Republicans against senior leaders of the Biden administration. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas was impeached by the House this year and raised within one vote margin after three Republicans voted against the party's push. Although House Republicans have launched an impeachment inquiry into Biden, committees investigating that matter have been unable to muster support for a vote on removing the Democratic president. The House Oversight and Judiciary Committees both approved a report on party lines that recommended Garland be held in contempt of Congress for failing to turn over the audio recordings demanded in congressional subpoenas. Congressional Committee Chairman Jim Jordan, you know, defying his own subpoena. Pardon me. I get a little choked up when I, you know, the hypocrisy makes my throat hurt. He said at a news conference Wednesday that Republicans are entitled to all the evidence, and so the audio recording was the best evidence. That's why we sent the subpoena. The attorney general has been clear. He's not going to give that information to us. Well, you already have the information. What you don't have is the voice inflection, the pauses, the things that would make you, enable you to cut it up, delay it a little, make him look like more of a stuttering idiot than he actually is. That's why you want the audio. We know it. You know it. The facts are the facts. You got the data. You got the transcripts. You know what was said. You know how what the circumstances were. Anyway, Jordan goes on. That's why we have this contempt resolution. We assume that this is going to wind up in court, but we think our case is strong, and we think that we will prevail. Well, good luck with all that.
Why did no one file a case against Jim Jordan? Dom, at the Raw story, the Roar story, one of my favorite aggregators, rich beyond measure, the Democratic Congressman Jamie Raskin tears into Jim Jordan for subpoena hypocrisy. The guy is heading up the Judiciary Committee despite the fact he flouted the congressional subpoena of him for the January 6th activities. Rep. Jim Jordan defended snubbing a House committee after he subpoenaed to testify about the effort to overturn the 2020 presidential election, you know, the January 6, 2021, Dom. During a Wednesday House floor debate on holding Attorney General Merrick Garland in contempt, Rep. Jamie Raskin, Democrat from Maryland, argued the claims of the Department of Justice weaponization, I am using air quotes, against Republicans melted away after President Joe Biden's son Hunter was convicted of three felonies. Raskin accused Republicans of sending former President Donald Trump's felony conviction, and then here's his quote, down the Orwellian memory hole to save someone's hurt feelings. Wonder who the someone is. So what's left to do now, Raskin said. Well, let's hold the Attorney General of the United States, Merrick Garland, in contempt, of course. The contempt charge against Garland came after Republicans demanded a audio tape. We've talked about that part, Dom. Raskin suggested Jordan was guilty of hypocrisy, I would say of contempt of Congress, Dom, because he had also refused to comply with the subpoena from the January 6th committee. It's rich beyond measure, like a billionaire rich, to be asked to hold the Attorney General in contempt by people who themselves received subpoenas to testify before the January 6th committee, who never rendered a single document nor a single minute of testimony to the January 6th committee. Jordan quickly defended himself like a wrestler. First of all, I never said I wouldn't testify in front of the January 6th committee. I just want to know what the parameters at that testimony were going to be, so I never did say no to that. Never said no,
Okay, if that's how
Trump
you want to
just moved at him like a bitch.
Tic-tac it up. 844-967-2789. The new civil rights movement. This particular one, talking about Speaker Mike Johnson. Wednesday, he celebrated Trump's upcoming visit to Washington, D.C. to meet with House and Senate Republicans, barely blocks away from where the January 6th, 21 attacks on the U.S. Capitol and democracy itself took place. Many hold the
now. Is that going to happen Thursday? Tomorrow, Trump's going up to the Hill.
I believe so.
That's true. You keep reading. I'll Google it. It's probably worth a Google.
Pointing out that this will be the first time Trump has met with both House and Senate Republicans in D.C. since the January 6th insurrection. A reporter Wednesday morning asked the speaker, are you committed or have you spoken about basically not doing anything like that again and committing to respecting the American tradition of peaceful transfer? Well, I got to tell you, Johnson had a response to that, which we don't have time to play right now because we got a little break coming up. But let me just tell you, it was underwhelming. And I think a straight up lie. And for these, you know, this guy's the, you know, he's the super mega Christian guy, right? The earth is 6,000 years old. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. His response and his efforts to put words, I would say, into the mouth of Donald Trump, who encouraged the rioters, the insurrectionists to fight like hell, whose commanders were at the Willard Hotel coordinating these efforts, right? That as part of this insurrection, who sat on his hands for 3 hours while his supporters beat the hell out of cops, while when Congress had to run for their lives while they were chanting "Hang Mike Pence," Mike Johnson thinks that Donald Trump, man, of course he's down with the peaceful transfer of power. We'll play that sound and your calls coming up. 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates, political commentary from the back of the class.
And we are back from 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio. So happy birthday, Crudy. You can join us on the lines 844-967-2789. Talk or text. We take it all.
Dom takes more than Crudy. Jeff from Sherwood, our trash text and attorney buddy, says, good birthday, Crudy. Good to hear you live on the air. Was worried that you're going to take a holiday. Just half a holiday. Just up to the parts of Wisconsin with less than robust internet connections. A little bit more here. Yes, Crudy loses connection, so we get Dom's best Arnold Schwarzenegger impression. I was listening to the lamentation of the women. I always love when you do that. And also, a chastising texter from Jersey, go figure, someone from Jersey with something to say. I'll read as much as I can. Hey, Crudy, I'm mildly disappointed in you. I'm from New Jersey, and I listened to your June 7th podcast, Shrinkage, second hour, when you talked about Senator Menendez. Yes, he is corrupt. And New Jerseyans are about to correct that with Andy Kim, who will be the first Asian-American senator from the great state of New Jersey. The Garden State it is, right? Did Wisconsin, and here's where the chastisement really okay. Sort of stings a little.
Because it's true?
Did Wisconsinites kick out its own corrupt Senator Ron Johnson yet? Oh, are you guys still thinking about it? until the next insurrection, question mark? Also, I've proudly gone to school in Newark for undergraduate and graduate studies. I've also worked in Newark for 20 years and used public transportation to travel there and back all the time, sometimes late at night, early morning, blah, blah, blah. And I have never been assaulted, robbed, or worse. I'm a woman. Every city has problems, but don't allow stereotypes to scare you or your audience from visiting Newark. But my story, and this is, and there's more there, but anyway, she said, don't smear the entire city of Newark. Eileen, listening from Jersey City, New Jersey. Well, here's the problem, Eileen. The story I'm referencing was from 1990. So this was literally Newark 35 years ago. So if I besmirched the fine city of Newark 34, 35 years ago, I apologize. Mea culpa. But I'm talking about old Newark. I'm sure it's swell now. It's
way better now. Now that you got a new quarterback in town. Oh, it's the New York Jets. I'm sorry. 844-967-2788. So Rich, be prepared for the Mike Johnson sound. Again, I want Mike Johnson, of course, today the House, they very, very, very methodically and professionally and constitutionally, they minded their business and they decided to, you know, hold Merrick Garland in contempt. But I got some questions about this guy, Johnson. And he was asked by a reporter, and let me see if I can find exactly what the question was. Here we go. Are you committed or have you spoken about basically not doing anything like that again and committing to respecting the American tradition of the peaceful transfer? Of course, Donald Trump going to Congress or to Washington, D.C. for the first time since he orchestrated that coup attempt on our Constitution.
I verified it will be tomorrow. It is on Thursday, Dom. Did Google it. Tomorrow. I do as I say I will.
Thank you for that. And Mike Johnson, who was apparently, according to the article, he was frowned and he looked irritated as the reporter asked him that question. If you would please, Rich, play Mike Johnson's response to the American tradition of the peaceful transfer.
We have to defend the Constitution. We have to defend the authority of Congress. We can't allow the Department of Justice, an executive branch agency, to hide information from Congress.
All right, that's the wrong one. That is, of course, Mike talking about this contempt of Congress. Find the other one, if you would, please. We have, again, Mike Johnson. Well, we had a couple on the contempt charges against Garland, and we have one on his attempt to cover for the former president.
The attorney general doesn't get to decide whether he hides the tape.
Yeah, well, I think he does. Keep going, Rich.
That's the contempt stuff.
Yep.
Of course he respects that, and we all do, and we've all talked about it ad nauseum. We're excited to welcome President Trump back.
Of course he respects that, Johnson said.
We've talked about it ad nauseum.
Yeah. I mean, we have on the Devil's Advocate show, I've never heard Donald Trump ever say that that was wrong or that he would do that. I've never heard him apologize. Of course, a guy like Donald Trump doesn't do anything wrong ever. So when, and I think, you know, this is the issue, a guy like Mike Johnson who puts himself out there as this, you know, the holier than thou, super religious and very, very down to earth. Of course, Donald Trump's respects that. Well, what are you talking about ad nauseum? What are you talking about? Are you telling me, Mr. Speaker, that you sat down many times over and over and over and over and over and over and over again with the former, now convicted felon president and discussed how important it is to respect the American tradition of the peaceful transfer of power? Is that what you're saying? And he has come around to your way of thinking? Mike, is that what you're saying? I don't believe so. Again, we're excited to welcome the president back, and he'll be meeting with the Senate Republicans, of course, after he has a breakfast with us, and there's high anticipation here and great excitement. Great excitement. Now, if there were no question about Donald Trump's commitment to the peaceful transfer of power, and there is given to this day, he calls insurrectionists, which is what he calls them, warriors, victims, hostages, patriots. The speaker would not need to be discussing it ad nauseum as a backbencher before being elevated to speaker. Johnson was not just a little known congressman. He was an architect of Trump's effort to overturn the results of the 2020 election. Johnson spread election fraud conspiracy theories and lies as a CNN investigation published in April confirmed. Also back in April, Johnson tried to rewrite history, whitewashing the role of insurrectionists and those who attacked the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, saying some of them were innocent. You know, people who were there just happened to be walking through the building. You know, we know they say pretty well during all these court cases. Oh, I got caught up in it. I got caught up in it. Now, highlighting those remarks, the New Republic reported the Republican leader seems to suggest that the 2,000 people who charged the halls, destroyed federal property, and interrupted the peaceful presidential transfer of power, 1,265 of whom have been charged by federal authorities, were actually mere innocent bystanders. This coming out of the mouth of the very pious and religious and Jesus-following Speaker of the House. You know, I'll take my atheism any day, because that is some crap. And I don't buy it. I don't think you get to hide behind your Bible and you get to hide behind your perceived patriotism and the flag. That's bunk, and you know it. You're a lying POS. You're carrying water for this guy. Folks, for the Devil's Advocates, 844-967-2789.
I'd just like to say this gig sucks.
Hey, up yours, Springfield.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Hell, you old bastard.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. A happy hour indeed.
Celebrating that was my Marilyn Monroe.
We get a lot of messages.
Version for you, Crudy.
You're not doing Marilyn for me this year?
That was it. That was it.
Dom, I should announce there is a party that you can all attend, a presidential debate watch party. It's free. It's at the Barrymore Theater, June 27th, starting at 7 p.m. It's for the love of democracy, a presidential debate party. Us, the Devil's Advocates, and our friends at the Progressive Magazine. Dom, we're going to do a little panel discussion, at least you and I and Maggie Dawn. Attorney Maggie Dawn joining us there at the Barrymore Theater. And then at 8 o'clock, the most important presidential debate of your lifetime.
Again.
The price, perfect. Free. It's free. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. So come on down. Party with the Devil's Advocates and the Progressive Magazine. And all of you, you're going to be there. Bring cash for the bar. And if you want to throw a few bucks in and support the cause, we'd appreciate that as well. But if you're wondering, why can't I party with Crute? And by Friday, it's Dom's birthday. Why can't I party with you guys on your birthday? Well, you can party with us on June 27th. One other political event of note. The former president, 34-time convicted felon, Donald J. Trump, coming to Racine, Wisconsin next Tuesday, right about the time the Devil's Advocates come on the radio dial. So, if you tune in next Tuesday, I suspect I will be there. I'll be at the political party, so you don't have to be dumb. But I'll bring the audience with, and we'll have a good time. Even at a Trump rally, even with democracy at stake, we're going to find a way to have a good time at a Trump rally. Because it's our birthday month, man. We'd have That's good birthday. Times. I'll bring my own booze if necessary. So, Dom, are you taking odds whether or not Trump will be part of the primary debate? I guess this would be the general elective debate.
I think 50-50. I mean, it's coming up quick. But, you know, Trump hasn't been doing too 50, well.
50 is.
Yeah. Trump has. I mean,
okay,
when 50-50
Trump. 50-50 is not an answer.
Okay. 49-51.
I choose neither.
49-51.
Which way are you favoring? Are you taking action? Are you putting your money where your mouth is?
The money line.
You know, some victuals.
I think there is some. I think the Biden campaign thinks that Joe Biden will be able to perform better than Donald Trump. And now, granted, you know, both men have had some, I would say, short circuits recently. And Donald Trump's, you know, he's whenever he short circuits, he'll mumble something and they'll say something like, we can't do that. We have to do it. You know, like, oh, you know, on the borders, and we have to do it. We have to do it. You know what I mean? We have to do it. He, you know, he I think he recognizes that there's a short circuit, and then he goes to the, we have to do it. We have to do it. That kind of response, right? He'll mumble, some words will slur, his brain will mash a little bit, and then he'll try to overcome that.
Is that his poker tell?
Yeah, that and talk over it. Yes, we got to do it. We got to do it. And Biden the other day at the was it the Juneteenth celebration? Kind of stiffened
Juneteenth
up a bit.
Celebration.
Yeah. Similar, not to the degree.
Stiffened up a bit. He looked like a mannequin at Soul Train, dude. He was more than a little stiff.
It wasn't as bad as Mitch McConnell, who had several of those kinds of incidents over the last year or so. But he did look like he was, and I saw a meme like, oh, these gummies don't work at all. And then like an hour later, you know, it's like, this ate too many gummies to catch up. But when you're
he's at the front row of the Fish concert.
Exactly. But during a debate, if there's going to be, you know, there's specific rules that he apparently did agree to. And again, whether or not he'll hold up to that, maybe he'll have an issue with some of the rules. He'll make an excuse. But I think that the man is not great on his feet and not great. I don't know that when the guy's ever been really challenged. You know, I mean, I think that's the other thing, too. A guy like Donald Trump, I mean, whoever tells him no.
Oh, come on, man.
Come on, man. You know what I'm saying? So does Donald Trump show up for the debate? I mean, I hope so. I think it's important in the sense that, you know, people need to hear what a true fascist dictator sounds like prior to taking over and burning the country to the ground. If he wins, then we can say, well, we told you so. Otherwise, it'll be a pleasant contrast, to my opinion, between a fascist like Donald Trump and someone who actually believes in the rule of law and democracy, in supporting our allies against fascism. And not only overseas, but here at home. So, you know, until the guy shows up, man, no, I think there's a chance he doesn't. Until he's on the stage doing his thing, I think there's a good chance he doesn't. No, odds are he will. 51-49, that might be a little generous.
You are undermining the attendance of the greatest political party of the summer.
Come on, it's called the Devil's Advocates,
for the
baby.
Love of Democracy Party.
They'll be fine.
Let me just point out, A, Trump's been talking about this debate. He's been talking about it, you know, and not in terms like, oh, you know, I changed my mind. He is not floating the I changed my mind. He's like, I accepted bad terms, but yeah, I'm still going to whoop his ass. That is the way that Trump is talking. I know your opinion, Dom, but let me give you mine. Let me give you mine. I think that Donald Trump thinks he's the world's greatest debater because he thinks he's the world's greatest everything. So I think that Trump relishes this opportunity. I think the only saving grace that will make this watchable, A, the Devil's Advocates and Maggie Dawn and our friends at the Progressive Magazine at the Barrymore Theater, be there, party with us, but B, the microphones will cut off our understanding. That was the terms of the CNN first debate. And if that is the case, Dom, if Joe Biden gets to finish a sentence unbullied, unshouted down, because I've been in a political debate before, Dom, and I can tell you, very irritating when one of your debating opponent shouts you down, interrupts you constantly. I mean, you do it every day on the radio.
You should be used to that, Crudy. All right.
So
here's the thing.
There's a 99.9% chance he's there.
He's already
he's saying 99.9%.
Your perspective. I accepted a bad deal, but I'm going to kick his ass anyway, yada, yada. This is the same guy who said he's going to testify more than once, right? See what I'm saying?
The guy, circumstance, dude. He's not subject to perjury in jail if he lies on a debate stage.
So you take Trump at his word this time? Again, until he shows up and at the debate and is fielding questions and literally doing it, there's a chance he doesn't because it's Donald Trump, man. He knows he's vulnerable, I think. Of course, and this overcompensation for the narcissist that he is, oh, you know, I'm going to go to the debate and have this guy Covfefe. And we can't have that anymore. We just can't have it. You know what I'm saying? We can't do that anymore. I won't let it happen. You know, he's losing it. And he doesn't have a specific teleprompter in front of him. And he's going to got a guy like Biden. And say what you want about Biden. Biden is on his game. And it's an if. You never know. If Biden's on his game, this guy, Biden's been doing the politics thing for a long, 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 long time. If Biden's on his game, he will clean the Trump's clock.
A WMDX texter says, DJT thinks he's a master debater, dumb.
Uh-huh.
844-967-2789. You know, there are some betting odds going on, dumb. I bet if somebody called, we'd go to the phones. But there are wagers.
Yeah,
placed on the election.
And do you have the odds in front of you, Curdy? And how are you feeling about it? Like the actual election, the results of the presidential election, not just who wins the debate. We're talking about the actual who becomes the president. What are the odds right now?
They favored Trump. The betting lines favor Donald J. Trump currently. Currently, Dom. Now that could change. But if you listen, and I listen to a lot of right-wing talk radio. Did I mention that? I traveled, you know, around the state a bit today. And if you're listening, right-wing talk radio thinks really it's Joe Biden's last opportunity to make up the ground. I saw new polling out of Arizona today. Biden by 8. That's getting outside the margin for error. But the Hill.
Biden by 8
is
or Trump
what
by
I'm
8?
Referencing. Trump by 8. Trump over
okay.
Biden. By 8.
Okay.
My
Trump
bad.
By 8. Yeah, that's okay. Trump by 8 in Arizona polling today. Gotcha.
In Arizona, which Biden won the last time by what? Just under 12,000 votes. Trump holds a 2-in-3 chance of winning in a new election forecast. I think this one is driven by the betting odds, Dom. Former President Trump has a 2-in-3 chance of winning the White House in November, according to the Economist election forecast model. Launched Wednesday. The model predicts Trump has a 66% chance of winning. Joe Biden's at 33%. Damn! That's not what I want to hear on my birthday, Dom. The results are similar to the forecast model from the Decision Desk HQ and The Hill, released late last month. In that model's most recent update, Trump holds a 56% chance, 56 and 100. Biden's at 44%. And the Economist forecast model, which is set to be updated daily, puts the likelihood of a Trump victory at the highest level since the beginning of March. Highest since the beginning of March. Almost like the guilty verdicts have somehow made him more likely to win, at least in these forecasts. But I did see the betting lines also favor Trump. I only heard that from a Republican senator on right-wing talk radio. I didn't actually independently verify that. I thought these predictive models might be the betting. One more. I want to include a few of the states, Dom, because it includes the state of Wisconsin. 4 states are categorized as uncertain, meaning the likelihood of a Trump victory in the state is less than 65 in 100. Less than 65 in 100. There's Nevada, where they give Trump a 64% chance. Pennsylvania, where Trump is giving a 63% chance. Michigan, where Trump is given a 56% chance. And Wisconsin, where Trump is given a 59 in 100% chance of winning the state. The model predicts a Trump victory is likely, meaning 65 to 85 in 100 in Georgia and Arizona. Damn, man, all the swing states, according to this projecting model, and it's 6 months out, right? But it's like 3 yep. months until people start early voting, dude. September, people can start early voting, depending on the state.
Let me. I don't buy it. And here's why. I mean, look at the polling here in the state of Wisconsin, at least at the Marquette. I mean, this is basically a coin flip. You know, what is it about going from 50-50 to, you know, 59%? I just think that's a big jump. I don't see where that comes. And I'm not I'm the economist. I don't know what their algorithms are, what the research is. But when you see the polling here, at least in the state of Wisconsin, you got something 50-50. Where's you getting the extra 9 points from?
Well, I think part of that is right track, wrong track. There are more metrics than just a pure polling head-to-head matchup of the two candidates. History has dictated when certain factors in the economy are in place, they favor either an incumbent or they favor the new candidate. So I think these factors are more than simply the polling evidence being currently put out there.
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates radio show. We are on the right track, and we love it when you join us on the lines. Callers, sit tight. We will get you in. We promise. It's Crudy's birthday. Gotta let Crudy talk a little bit. You know, let the old man ramble. Otherwise, just going to be out there yelling at the sky up at the lake. The Devil's Advocates, you can yell at the sky at 844-967-2789. And we got to keep doing it. We got to keep doing it. We got to keep doing it.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Listening to the Devil's Advocates, the radio show. Phone lines open, going there shortly, 844-967-2789. Be patient, though. This one came up, and Rich did the hard work ready for us. Anytime I see a Wisconsin congressman on the Raw story, you know, it gives me some concern. This time, it's toxic Tom Tiffany on the CNN facing off against Boris Sanchez regarding the criminal conviction of Hunter and, of course, of the Biden crime family. Rich, I believe you are ready with some relevant sound. Let's just give a little flavor for the folks, if you would, please, sir.
Congressman, so there are some details there that I don't think reflect the record of what the Oversight Committee's actually put out. In fact, it wasn't $20 million. It was $15 million that went to Biden family associates. And there's no evidence in any of the documents put out by the Oversight Committee that a single dollar went to President Biden when he was in office. Therefore, there's no evidence that he did anything illegal, that he abused his power, or that he abused his power in office to help his family members or friends get wealthy.
Yeah, well, Joe Biden has a check in the amount of $40,000 that has his name on it. You got another $200,000 check that came from Jim and Sarah Biden to him. I mean,
Sir, I have that check here. I actually have that check here. That was a check from 2018 when he was not vice president. And it actually says that this was a reimbursal. This was a loan repayment from his brother.
So you can make the case that the Bidens did not do this while Joe Biden was vice president. But I think it's contrary to the record. And it's contrary to what happened when Joe Biden was vice president and he went and called off the prosecutor in Ukraine in regards to the Burisma investigation.
Sir, that has been debunked. That prosecutor was unanimously disliked by both Republicans and Democrats, and even EU officials said that he was corrupt and they wanted him out. Nevertheless, Congressman, we do have to leave the conversation there. We do appreciate you coming on. We hope you'll come again soon.
Nevertheless, Congressman, why don't you go Paul Sand and maybe stop doing the retreads of the old conspiracies? I mean, if nothing else, Tom Tiffany, can't you come up with something new? You know, maybe get a hold of Alex Jones or Tucker Carlson. Put your heads together and come up with something different. I would appreciate that. It's like you're not even trying, sir. 844-967-2789. We try. Mark from the SAC, you're first. Welcome. What do you got for us today?
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, Mark.
Thanks, guys. Hi. It's just sad that Tom Tiffany, I actually called his office this morning and kind of read the riot act over the whole thing of him being one of the only Republicans in Wisconsin that voted against, voted for defunding NATO. I mean, the man is completely dishonest. I mean that, I actually have a little piece of property up in that district, and if I had the chance to go to a meeting there, I'd actually call him out on that. I'd just call him a liar to his face. You said, you're just a liar. I mean,
does it even matter, man? I mean, they have no shame. Okay, I'm a liar. You're a liar. I'm a liar. You're a liar. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so what? So they're liars. Then what? You know, now what do we do?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, these guys, what gets me is these guys all took their oath of office very important, very, very religiously when they added the under God, you know, so help me God part of it, which is not officially a part of the oath you have to take. You just have to affirm. You can just say settle with affirmation, which is probably better because you shouldn't be calling on the deity to, you know, act whether you're being honest or not. You should be honest on your own integrity, period. I mean, but these guys are just completely dishonest and, you know, completely amoral. And that, and for Mike Johnson, he was involved in the insurrection himself. I mean, it's just jaw-dropping that the links that these guys go to, and then they act like they're just sinless. Sin, you know, they've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, so they're completely sinless. And it's just if there is a God, they're going to be accounting for themselves when they try to cross St. Peter's Gate. That
we can only hope, Mark. We can only hope. Hey. Let me tell you, man, Jesus loves you, but everyone else thinks you're an a-hole. Hey, thanks for the call, Mark, 844-967-2789. Mike from Muscadet, you are up. Welcome, Mike. Happy days. What do you got for us?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Raining pretty good. Raining pretty good here in Muscadet, my man, I'm telling you.
Well, be safe out there, man.
Clear skies over the lake in central Wisconsin.
What you got, Mike? How's things?
Well, hey. I just got a question for all you guys that love Slow Joe out there. $7.5 billion was spent on EV chargers in 2 years, and there's only 7 of them produced. How do you like them apples? Is Uncle Joe game?
I had a friend that came up to the lake this weekend, and she has an electric car. And her car needed to be charged. So apparently I pulled out the extension cord from the garage and she had an adapter and we plugged it in. And that thing charged overnight and only gained like 3 miles of range, something like that. She had to go find one of these superchargers. So for the technology to be viable, you got to have these chargers around. If you can't plug them into the house and get a effective range. Above and beyond that, I would say this. If I was Joe Biden, I would not be shaking my ass at the Juneteenth event next year. I would maybe sit that one out. I'd be a wallflower because that's not a good look. And I'm not saying that Donald Trump is a better dancer. The double handy look that Trump does. I mean, that could be pornographic. You just can't tell. So these boys should sit it out. No more dancing for either presidential candidate.
No more you leave. Dancing. Come on, man. I
tell
some
you what. If Joe will make the pledge, I will also pledge. No more white man dancing. I will never dance again unless Brickhouse plays. And then it'll be a happier hour indeed, and I'll dance my ass off because it's my birthday and I can do that. Come back! A happier, happy hour, Devil's Advocate style.